You are Locked On Clemson, your daily podcast on the Clemson Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, folks, and welcome into the Locked On Clemson Podcast. Happy Tuesday. Hope you all had a great weekend. Shout out to all of the regulars here on the show, and welcome to any of you that may be new. Got a lot of new faces coming in. Excited about that. Hopefully, you'll find something that you enjoy. First up, got a special guest, Faxon Childress, co-host of the 4th and 16 Sports. He's part of that show with me. We'll be chiming in to give his thoughts on the upcoming game tonight, the Clemson men's basketball team versus the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's going to be a barn burner. After that, we'll talk Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell at the Reese's Senior Bowl. These guys made a name for themselves, in my opinion. We'll look ahead to what might be in store for these guys regarding the NFL. Lastly, we'll talk to Deshaun Watson and his potential exit from the Houston Texans. Where could he end up? All of that right here on Locked On Clemson, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You do me a huge favor, please subscribe to the Locked On Clemson Podcast. That way you get episodes as they drop, when they drop. You don't want to miss a single one. Please leave a review and a big five-star rating as well, if you're nice enough. Can't wait to get into it. Let's go. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Again, the Clemson Tigers men's basketball team will be taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels tonight in Little John Arena, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be on ACC Network Extra. It's going to be a barn burner game. The Tigers absolutely need to win this game. They've been on a little bit of a skid, although they did get a big win against the Louisville Cardinal. They kind of got blown out yet again against Duke. You're talking about three blowouts in a row against Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Florida State before bouncing back against Louisville and then bouncing right back into the poor man's seat against Duke. Now, this Tigers team, again, has not looked like they've been prepared mentally. We need to see what's going on. And I've got my main man, Faxon Childress, here to give you his thoughts on the game tonight. Listen in.
What's going on, guys? It's Faxon Childress, the co-host of 4th and 16 Sports with Ellis Tolbert. I'm coming on Locked On Clemson today to give a game preview of the upcoming clash between the Clemson Tigers and North Carolina Tar Heels going down on Tuesday evening. The Tigers are coming into this game losing four of their last five in rather embarrassing fashion. I would say getting blown out in the last four of their five. And North Carolina is coming into this game on a hot streak. Admittedly, they've won six out of seven, and they've won four in a row. When you look at the forms that both teams are in and the matchups on paper, this isn't a super favorable matchup for the Tigers, but it does help that they're playing in Little John Coliseum, so the team tends to play better at home. North Carolina is all hands on deck right now from a roster perspective, in a roster that was thought to be top heavy at the beginning of the year. They've kind of come through as a team this year and shown that they've got role players that can play, they've got depth, and they're here to make a name for themselves in the ACC. Off to a rough start, but picking up as of late, as I said earlier. Inside, Clemson's got to worry about Garrison Brooks and Armando Beckett. These two are both putting up almost a double-double every game. I think combined, it's 22 and 18 for them, and this is the front court for the Tar Heels. Amir Sims, Hunter Tyson, Jonathan Bear, Omax, and PJ Hall will all have difficulties containing Garrison Brooks and Armando Beckett inside. I think the strategy for the Tigers to keep those two in check would be to force more mid-range jump shots. Can't let these teams get to the basket like they've been getting to the basket so easily in recent games. And, you know, Clemson's gotten beat backdoor a lot. This UNC team has got some very good cutters off the wing as well. Sharp, Davis, and Black can all finish inside for the Tar Heels and cut in off the wing. So Brooks is a pretty good passer out of the post as well. So what the Tigers need to focus on in this game is I would front Brooks inside. And if he gets the ball down there, push him out as far as possible. Do not let him get under the basket because he will go up, he will dunk on you, he will grab a layup, or he will find an open cutter or shooter. You cannot let Garrison Brooks get premier post position. He hasn't been fantastic this year, but last year we're talking about a guy that averaged damn near 15 and 10. This guy's a fantastic player. A five-star freshman guard that the Tar Heels also have is Caleb Love. Love is averaging only 10 points per game on the year, but was a highly touted recruit coming into the year and has recently started to come into his own as he's kind of gotten more comfortable under Roy Williams and comfortable playing with the players around him. Love is a player that can give you 30 on any given night, regardless of what he's done previously in the season. This kid is extremely talented, and the Tigers have struggled against some premier guards in the conference as of late. Tyhe Clark for Virginia, Jose Alvarado, and Michael DeVoe both for Georgia Tech both had big games against the Tigers. Sam Hauser's not really a guard, but he's a forward. But these guys that can shoot from the perimeter have given the Tigers some issues in these last couple games in this kind of skid of form for the Tigers. What I'm interested to see is, can Clemson contain Garrison Brooks and bake it down low, and can they keep Caleb Love to a minimum shooting the ball? I really don't know what to expect from this team defensively, because, you know, you have four out of these last five games where they've just been terrible defensively. But Louisville, who's a good offensive team, they just beat Georgia Tech. They also have some big wins over Duke. Louisville held 50 points by the Tigers in Little John Coliseum. Carlique Jones completely shut down. So it's really just going to be, do we get good Clemson or do we get bad Clemson tomorrow night? And Clemson has zero room for error at this point, in my opinion, when it comes to winning this game and in the shape of the conference. This team started 9-1 overall and has hit a skid to where they are now 10-5, all five losses being in conference. They are below 500 at 4-5 in the conference, which lands them ninth in the conference, as we said right now. If Clemson wants to contend for this conference for a top seed, for a possible bye in the ACC tournament, if they want to continue their preseason aspirations of getting into and winning a few games in the NCAA tournament, this is a big game that, in my opinion, they need to pick up. Falling two games below that 500 mark in the ACC is never a great thing, especially when you consider the fact that there's going to be COVID cancellations this year. So we don't know how many games Tigers are even going to end up playing. And no ACC game is a free win this year. I mean, we saw Miami took Clemson down to the wire, and now they're viewed as the worst team in the conference. So if that needs to be a wake-up call for some of the Tigers Nation, you can't count these BC, Syracuse, Notre Dame games. You can't just write them off the schedule as wins. There are no free wins in the ACC, and the Tigers need to go in with intensity tomorrow on defense, early and often, and I think they have a good chance to win the game if they do that. While North Carolina is a pretty good offensive team, and they put up in the 70s for points per game, there are also some areas Clemson can attack on defense. North Carolina does not rank well in any area of defense, that being perimeter or paint. But in my opinion, I think that Clemson should be able to pick on their guards to create separation and open shots. Now, we know that shot making has been an issue with this Tigers team in the past, so it's not guaranteed for me to sit on here and say, well, if Clemson gets open shots, they're going to win the game, because Clemson's been getting open shots lately. It's just, as Brad said in his most recent post-game presser, we have a shot-making problem. So if Clemson can kind of break out of their slump, these shooters like Nick Honor, Alex Hemingway, Alamir Doss can pick up and return to form, hit some open shots. The Tigers will get open shots in this game. The question is, can they make the most of their opportunities? And can they make enough shots to outscore a very good scoring team in North Carolina to win the game? If I had to give an official prediction for this game, I say Clemson wins a close game in the 70s, maybe somewhere around 72 to 70, 72 to 68. I'm trying to stay positive, as a lot of Tiger Nation is down on the team right now. I think that Clemson's done a lot of great things already this year, including big wins over Alabama, Purdue, Florida State, and Louisville. Four ranked wins right there. So I still believe in this Tigers team, and I believe that they can get the ship right. But if there's ever a time to do it, this is the time. So this is a must-win game for the Tigers, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Want to give a shout out to my main man, Facts and Childress. He's my co-host over on 4th and 16 Sports, a college football-based live show where we talk all things college football. We do those on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. over on YouTube and Facebook. Just search 4th and 16 Sports. We're in a little bit of an off-season right now. We're going to come back around June or July, but get in with us as well as here on Locked On Clemson. I tend to agree with Facts, and I think Clemson wins this game based on survival instincts alone. This is a game that they absolutely have to win to stay alive in the ACC. Like Facts said, you don't know what's going to happen with COVID, so you don't know how many games you're going to play. It seems like we're always canceling or postponing the game with Boston College, a game that we absolutely could win. But it's one of those things where if this team can stick together, get mentally on track again, and play defense like they've never played this season, I think they could definitely come away with this win. Now, because of the buckets issue, I don't know that this team could score 70 plus points. They haven't done it very often this season. In fact, I think only once. But I do think that this team could actually come out, and if they're shooting well, particularly from the perimeter, they can absolutely beat North Carolina. They've got the size advantage. They've also got some of the upperclassmen advantage in this situation, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to go with the Tigers, though. I'm going to say somewhere around 62-59. Plus, playing in Little John always helps, so I'm going to go with the Tigers on this one. I'm just crossing my fingers on that one. Coming up in just a few minutes, though, we're going to be talking about the Senior Bowl. We had a couple of Clemson standouts at wide receiver go there and really make a name for themselves, impress some NFL scouts and coaches on both sidelines. So we'll talk about that and more on Locked On Clemson. Before I do that, though, let me tell you about my friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers, professional mechanics, and do-it-yourselfers. We know this. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, though, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest price possible, rather than changing prices on what the market will bear like the airlines do. And we know how the market's been going lately with that GameStop stuff, right? RockAuto.com is for everybody. Does not require a membership or an account login at all. You just go on and get whatever you need. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts to customers like you online for 20 years. It's a long time to be in business, right? Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. I'm talking, you can get anything from tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. You get some air filters. You get those little round mirrors you can put on your mirror because you can't can't see and turn around because your neck's too fat. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts you can ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're all in here at Locked On Clemson. Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to talk about the Senior Bowl now. We had Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell both play in the game. Both guys did pretty good. I think Amari Rodgers stood out a little bit more than Cornell Powell, but we'll talk about that coming up in just a few seconds. First and foremost, I think this is a big deal considering the fact that the NFL has already said that they're not going to have a combine this year in Indy. That's a pretty big deal because of the fact that normally guys that are not going to hear their name called on day one or maybe even day two, they use the combine to be able to get themselves pushed up. And we've also seen that some guys who may not be that talented as far as being a receiver or a lineman or a linebacker or whatever, they just have a standout combine. They really shine and it puts them front and center of all the coaches and GMs in the NFL and all the scouts, and that just boosts their name and their stock. Well, this year, you're not going to have a guy like Amari Rodgers or Cornell Powell get a chance to do that. They're not going to get to run the 40 in front of all the scouts. They're not going to get to run routes and they're not going to do those things. This is kind of the same thing that goes for a guy like Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. The difference is those guys are pretty much first round guys. So, you know, we know what they can do and all the scouts know what they can do. Trevor Lawrence, there's nothing that's going to change Trevor Lawrence from being the number one pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, you know, I feel like this year hurt a little bit. Obviously, COVID effects is still going on. We're unable to have a combine, but teams are still able to hold, they're still able to hold pro days at their own campus. The only thing I'm thinking though is this is a good thing for both guys. I'm talking Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell. Not only did they go down to Alabama, have a pretty good game in the Senior Bowl, they are also going to get to come back and catch passes from Trevor Lawrence in their own practice facility that they're very, very accustomed to. They've been there for years. I think that's going to help them out. They're going to be very familiar. They don't have to travel anywhere, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and prepare and get all their stuff ready and stretch and then go out there and try to perform to make a couple of extra million bucks in their salary. For these guys, we are talking about a difference between 500,000 and, you know, a million, even 2 million. We're talking about a guy like Chris Godwin for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has been on the team for a couple of years, has been a Pro Bowl guy, only made $768,000 this season. So it's a big deal to really go out there and perform. Now let's talk about the game a little bit. Amari Rodgers had been impressing people all week during practice. He showed his ability to run multiple different routes. He showed a little bit of his speed, quickness. What really helped him is he showed his power. He's able to catch balls and, you know, get hit contact on catching the ball and hold on to it. And we've seen that throughout the season this year. Amari Rodgers was just a different receiver this season coming back. And it's amazing what he was able to do with that ACL injury just, you know, a calendar year ago, is really able to capitalize on a lot of that. So I'm excited about seeing what he does in the NFL. I think, you know, with what he did in practice, I mean, he was out there mossing and sunning these guys. I'm talking about from big name schools. I saw a couple of Georgia guys out there getting beat by him. I saw a couple of Oregon guys out there getting beat by him. He's out there really playing well. And then you look on the game itself, Amari Rodgers had a touchdown catch from Kellen Mond and a 2-point conversion. It was like it was written up in a textbook. This guy is a receiver that can be relied on. His NFL player comp to me, really obvious, is Christian Kirk from the Arizona Cardinals, played at Texas A&M. Very similar guys. Both have running back body builds, about 5'9", 5'10". You have that 210, 250-pound frame with 4.4 speed and the ability to go up and catch the ball contested. That's what's going to help him out. Now, I think going over to Cornell Powell had a pretty good game too. It's just when he was in there, you know, there were certain situations where he was not getting looked at, or if he was, the ball was just over his head. Had a lot of bad plays from guys like Jamie Newman, quarterback from West Wake Forest, was going to be a transfer to Georgia, just could not connect. But he did that one time wide open. If you actually get him the ball in stride, Cornell Powell is going to run for days. But either way, really good performance for him as well. I do think Amari Rodgers has the upper hand as far as who might be going first in the draft between the two wide receivers. I think the reason why is because Amari Rodgers has not only shown that he is a master when it comes to route running, he has the great hands, as I mentioned before, but he also can contribute immediately in the punt return game. He is a elite punt returner. I think if he can get out there, show a little bit more. Again, his coach was Matt Rhule, Carolina Panthers. Right now, they're already looking at trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. We'll see what happens there, but I think he has a future in the NFL for sure, and not just being on the sidelines. I think he could kind of match what Ray McCloud did before while he was at Clemson, be that guy that can go out and be a receiver for you, but also catch some punts and return for you. So I really like Amari Rodgers. And then Cornell Powell, I think he's also got ability to be a punt returner. We didn't see a whole lot of that at Clemson, even though he was kind of like a punt return and kick return specialist in high school. I think if we can get these guys a little bit more tape coming from the pro day, and then also just having everybody look, this is what they did this season. One of the most prolific seasons passing for Clemson, despite Trevor Lawrence being out for two games, these guys really did what they did, and it was very impressive. Remember, Cornell Powell was not going to be your top three guy. Amari Rodgers was, but you got to think that Justin Ross was out, Joseph Ngata was out, Frank Latson spent a lot of time out. So Cornell Powell finally got his moment and got to seize it, and he did a fantastic job doing that. But again, both of these guys have an NFL future ahead of them. I think Amari Rodgers did the best for his stock. I keep saying that over and over. I think Amari Rodgers could now be in that day two realm. He could be in a second round, maybe a late second round, early third type guy. If he really blows it out in his pro day, which he's already impressed a lot of people, he could be a very early second round guy. Now, I don't think he's going to go first. There's way too many receivers ahead of him, but I think he holds his own with all of those guys. And I think that he has an opportunity to do it. Remember, T. Higgins dropped a little bit. He was the first pick of the second round. So it just depends on who needs what and when and how he does in that pro day. As far as Cornell Powell, I think Cornell Powell is a solid third round type guy. I think you can absolutely get him in there, especially what we saw this season out of Cornell Powell. He can definitely be in that third round spot. But I'm super excited about these guys. I'm going to be looking at this more. Draft boards are coming out day after day. And especially when it comes to the Clemson guys, we always want to see more get drafted because that's just going to help the brand. Remember, we're doing this for the brand and for their own sake. I hope these guys have fantastic careers along with guys like Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, because they always get all the credit. So coming up in the next segment, we're going to be talking about Deshaun Watson. He's slated to move in this offseason. It's going to be a blockbuster trade no matter where he goes. We'll keep you up to date with all that. And, you know, he's going to need some weapons. So maybe one of these guys can fall into his lap. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments. Before I do that, though, let me tell you about my friends over at betonline.ag. The NFL regular season is over after this Sunday, and I'm excited about it. You need to know all the bets, all the props, everything coming. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. These guys are going to get you in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Hear your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with Peacock and Williamson Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Final segment of the Locked On Clemson Podcast is here. Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to be talking about Deshaun Watson now, former Clemson National Championship quarterback. He has had enough of the Houston Texans, and I don't blame him. He's had problems with this organization since he got there. I mean, not unlike all the other Houston Texans quarterbacks, but it's sad to see a player this talented, you know, have first few years of his career get wasted. We'll talk about the fact that the organization has promised the kid way more than they can actually offer. They did give him a huge contract, but it feels like he's kind of sunk into that, even though he has a lot of leverage in this situation. This is why it's such a big blockbuster type deal for him to want to be traded. He's officially asked to be traded. There's a couple of teams on the market for him. We'll talk about this coming up in just a few minutes. But again, you had a head coach in Bill O'Brien who thought he was the savior of the organization. He thought that he should be the GM. Somehow he got that job. He thought that he should be the head coach, the scout. He thought that he should be the arbiter, the judge. He's like a pawn shop guy. He's offering and willing, dealing. You know, he sent out DeAndre Hopkins, a top three receiver in the NFL, for a bag of chips and a Red Bull. I mean, you're talking about the difference between having DeAndre Hopkins, a top three receiver, and Brandon Cooks. No offense to the guy, a top 30 receiver for Deshaun Watson. It's just not working out. You also get in David Johnson, a guy who hadn't really produced very much in the years that he's gotten injured. It's not good for Deshaun Watson, as well as being sacked a million times, because the offensive line, despite getting Tunsil, is still not very good. The guy's ready to go. Plus, it just really bubbled up to the top once McNair said, hey, you know what? We're going to let you have some opinions on whoever we hire as the new GM and head coach. Well, they go out and get Nick Caserio from the Patriots. He didn't want him. He clearly didn't want him. He had a few guys that he wanted to look, plus the Rooney Rule really wanted to be enacted in this one. Hey, give a couple of head coaches of color. Everyone thought it was going to be Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator, or just offensive guy, because we know who's calling the plays over at Kansas City, the job. But it didn't work out. They ended up getting the wide receiver coach and passing game coordinator over at the Baltimore Ravens. I am kind of lost on that one. We know that the Ravens was one of the worst passing teams in the league. We know that because of the fact that Lamar Jackson is still a running back. But still, I don't understand what's going on with that organization. I don't understand the moves. I can understand the Jaguars doing what they did to be able to get some talent in there. I can see what happened with the Jets. You know, their tank doesn't look so strange anymore, getting Saleh and building a great staff and trying to figure everything out. I do not understand what the Texans are doing, but we'll talk about all that later. Right now, Deshaun Watson had a pretty big contract. I talked about that before. If he decides, hey, you know, I want to get traded, and they say, we're not going to trade you, he could just hold out. Now, he's going to miss $50,000 per day. It's something like 600 something thousand if he doesn't play in any games this season because he's holding out. He wants to be traded. That still gives him the upper hand in this situation, because why not lose, you know, a couple million dollars this season on the front end to be able to go somewhere where you can really build, have a great career, and you make that money back over the long haul of your career, rather than staying where you are and potentially getting hurt or just never really making it ahead. Because I don't know what this organization is doing to try to actually get better. So with that said, let's talk about some places that he could go. Miami Dolphins is the first one that showed up everywhere. That would be interesting, because they could also trade him for Tua Tagovailoa, former Alabama quarterback. And you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of those guys. They'd have to give up a couple of picks for him, probably one of those first round picks and a second round pick. They have two first, so they can always give up one of those. It just depends on what they're really trying to do. And then the Carolina Panthers is another team coming out of nowhere right now. We know what happened with the whole Cam Newton being sent out, Teddy Bridgewater coming in, and then everybody thinking, oh, well, they're just going to send him out. But then they give Teddy Bridgewater a lot of money, and it seems like they're going to be sticking with this guy. And now it's like, hey, well, Deshaun Watson wants to come here. What can we wheel and deal? So it's one of those things where they would absolutely have to throw the house to get him. They would have to give up a ton of picks and a couple of other players to be able to get a guy like Deshaun Watson. But it sounds like they have reached out to the Texans. They want Deshaun Watson. And I think Deshaun Watson, who also said he wouldn't mind coming back to play in his home area, that tri-state area of Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, I think if he goes goes there, he'd have a lot of talent behind him. Imagine Deshaun Watson with Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and then the defense that they already have there. If they can keep it getting healthy, I think that would be a great spot for him. And then the Jets are also another place that he can absolutely go. Just seems like the Jets are going to move on from Sam Darnold. I don't know what they do with him, but I do know that if you're picking between Deshaun Watson and Sam Darnold, I'm going Deshaun Watson every single time. And that's not even being biased. That is just literal facts. Sam Darnold has been seeing ghosts for years. A lot of that is not his fault because his head coach, Adam Gase, was crazy. But at the same time, I really think that the best spot for Deshaun Watson might actually be the first two teams that I talked about, whether it's Carolina or the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins is really resurging under Brian Flores. A lot of talent defensively there. They're fantastic defensively. And then offensively, he's going to have a lot of weapons to work with. Devontae Parker, he's got a good running back list. The running backs are pretty good there, even though it's a committee. And then you also have a really good offensive line. They went and spent money on that O-line. So I'm excited about Deshaun Watson. Again, it's going to take a lot of picks to get Deshaun Watson, no matter where he goes, which makes this one of the bigger trades ever, because there's so much money involved and so many picks involved. But we've already seen it happen this season already. Matt Stafford was sent to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a whole bunch of picks and Jared Goff. So we'll see what happens. I think the Detroit Lions, they won that one. The Rams, I don't know what they're doing. They're kind of like the Houston Texans to me, but we'll see what happens going forward. With that said, we've come to the end of today's episode. Thanks for sticking with us so long. Again, I want to thank my main man, Faxon Childress. You can find him on Twitter at Faxon Childress, FaxonChildress _. He's going to be on there all day talking stuff. He's new, so give him some love over there on Twitter. He tried to stay away from the longest, but I had to convince him to do it. And then also, if you're new here on the show, thank you so much. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe to the Locked On Clemson podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcast for free. That way you can get the episodes when they drop, as they drop. You don't want to miss a single thing. We're going to keep you up to date with all things Clemson athletics. Feel free to follow me on Twitter as well at Ellis Tolbert, ELLISTOLBERT, for more conversation. I'd love to have you. And please rate and review the show if you can. I'll catch you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On Clemson, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, it's great to be a Clemson Tiger. Let's get after it.